Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to have you guys with us. If you were here in North Dakota, you'd be experiencing a wonderful late April snowstorm.
Blizzard.
Oh, this wouldn't be a blizzard because it's not drifting. And actually, it just now started to stick after both of these days in this place. It's just now starting to stick. It's just a little snowishness. But it's what everybody expects here. And I think it happens because all the North Dakotans have learned to say, oh, well, you know, we're going to get a blizzard. And we're going to get a blizzard in April. That's just how it works. And so I think God just comes with a blizzard. It really covers all the fields really nice with another, you know, layer of snow that'll soak in and make all the crops grow. I think that North Dakota grass is greener if it's actually had snow on it like 3 times. I mean, I don't know, you know. I'm not sure about, you know, them. You know, anyways.
The science of it, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about what I just said there, but, you know, that's just one of those old wives' tales. But anyways, welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you. Welcome, YouTube. We got any YouTubeites with us?
Not yet, but I'm sure they're on their way.
Moses or Joshua had to deal with the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and he had to get rid of them. But all you YouTubeites, we welcome the YouTubeites.
We welcome the YouTubeites, yes.
We're glad to have you with us. I actually received a question today from one of the YouTubeites, and I want to answer it right here, and we will answer it here, and then I'll also send a message in the email to it. But that was pretty cool. We got a question on that. So let's start with a prayer, and then we're going to kick off and read out of the book of Genesis, and then we're going to read out of the book of Colossians, and that's going to be our lesson for this evening. You know, the wonderful thing about the community of faith is that we are here for the purpose of establishing your faith. That is the whole reason that we're here. It's what we're doing. That's the purpose of this program, is to help you become established in your faith. We want you to be able to grow and be developed and be strong in God and established in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, you hear me say it on a regular basis, and that is don't get yourself all connected to and hung up on and all that stuff about the religiosity. Thank God if you get a perfect attendance pin at church. But that pin doesn't do you any good in heaven, except if that pin or if your attendance at church is excellent service for the right reason of helping people know who God is. If your holiness is in your perfect attendance pin, all you did was stick your a hole in a nice piece of clothes. That's what Brother Mike Warnke said. Because there's no holiness in it. Unless that is an outflow of your relationship with God and helping other people find God. So let's remember, when you stand before Jesus, he's not going to ask you about your pastor or your mom, your dad, your uncle, your aunt, or any other spiritual leader. He's going to ask you about you. What did you do with me? And that's what we are about here, is helping you get that down. Now, this has been a good week, and we've had a good study this week. And, you know, 2 nights ago, we studied To him who overcomes, a crown will be given, a new name will be given. And we studied the overcome verses in the New Testament. But making a declaration with it that says there is a process that you and I must do, and we must overcome. And that is, that gives us a responsibility that we've got to get ourselves in. And then on the next night we had, we overcome by speaking our faith, and we went back to the foundation doctrine of Romans chapter 10, where it says that you believe in your heart, you speak with your mouth, and this is how the righteousness of faith speaks. And then last night, we were talking about Jesus, the high priest of our confession, and the fact that the same Jesus, the same God that lived inside of the great men and women of old, actually lives inside of you and me. And the answer for all of our Christian lives is that you and I learn how to walk with God like we see those. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And he didn't say, I'm your example. He said, I am the standard. He said, I'm an example of how to chase after God and walk in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And so tonight we're going to talk about Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We're going to be reading out of Genesis, Jacob at the climbing ladder, and then Jacob when he wrestles with God. And then we're going to read in Colossians chapter 1 how the Apostle Paul was given the revelation that God Almighty was on the inside, and that's the hope of glory. It's not a relationship with the temple. It's not a relationship with rituals. It is actually a relationship with Almighty God himself, and he lives on the inside of you. And he's given us life and life more abundantly. So that's our program for tonight. And you're going to have a great time. Call your, as they used to say in the old days, call your friends, neighbors, and countrymen and tell them, tune in. It's going to be a good program tonight in Jesus' name. Let's pray. What's the chance you got the opening prayer close, love?
I can pull it up here real quick.
Yeah, I think I'd like to have that because I like how it says it. I like it was a prayer that God gave us to say here. Prayer itself that we're praying, it is an example of how to pray. And, you know, you take this and you build it, you make it your own. But continually speak it because it was a word that God gave us, a word of faith that God gave us. And I think it truly shows our position, our authority in God, and how we should be able to pray. Can you put it up on the screen or no?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
All right, that's cool.
It's a reminder, too, of who we are in God. I love that whole first beginning that just declares who we are in God.
It is a reminder of who we are in God. And thank you, Father, for that wonderful reminder. Thank you that we actually get to have you. You want us to be just like you.
Amen.
You want us to be just like you. Here we go, everybody. I keep turning my camera off because you get to see the ceiling, and then you get to see the steering wheel, and here we go. Where did it go? How did I lose it? Anybody see that prayer?
I can.
I see it on Zoom and YouTube.
I can see it.
Isn't there something I can't see?
I can see it. Very small print, though.
Is it?
Yeah. It's up in the corner. It's not there.
Oh, you got to change your view, maybe.
There you go. I don't know what you did, but there it is. Here we go. Father, we pray this prayer
and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of
God,
as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow. With your presence and power in our lives, we receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and that glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. All right, Sister Phyllis, you're reading.
Okay. This is Genesis 28, verse 10 through 22. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place as his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on that ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. And your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel.
The house of God.
But the name of that city had been Luz That was the name of the city previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. So this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Oh, okay, that's it.
Jacob got real holy and said, if you're going to be with me, then I'm going to be a tither. I like it. Now, let's go now to Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to read this whole chapter. You want to read that? You can, Phyllis. You don't have to, but you're welcome to. Now, do a contrast here. In our first reading, Jacob has stolen the birthright from his brother, and then he got the blessing by lying. So he's a thief and a liar and a heel grasper. And so now he's got to flee because Esau wants to kill him. Jacob is not the warrior that Esau is. And so his father and his mother say, you got to go. And Jacob has fled for his life to go to live with his mother's brother, Laban, find a wife there, and begin to live his life. So Jacob leaves, and that's what we see. He met God at Bethel with the dream of the ladder from heaven, the angels coming and going. It is one of the great definitions of the angelic blessings of God in our life every day. Angels are coming and going, coming up and down from heaven. They are the ministering spirits sent from the presence of the Lord. You see that in Psalm 103 and Hebrews chapter 1 and Psalm 104. Those are the three references that talk about the minister. There's three of the references in the Bible, the main references, that talk about the ministry of the angels in our life. And so Jacob has now lived, let me think, see if I'm going to get it right here. I think he's lived for 20 years at Laban's place. He got to marry Leah first because that was the practices of that place and those people. And he had to marry the older daughter first. And then he got Rachel. And then Leah began to have babies, and then Rachel had, or then she didn't have any more, and so they gave her to, then she had her servant, she had babies, and then Rachel's servant had babies, and then Rachel had a baby, Joseph, and oh, what a story Jacob has lived. This is our family. This is what all of us are a part of. Because God said to Abraham, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And as we read earlier and studied this week, the righteousness of faith, we found that in Romans chapter 10. We studied that two nights ago, that the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Well, what's the righteousness of faith? Abraham believed God, and the fact that he believed in God was counted to him for righteousness. And then it says that, hold on just a second. I just got a message I got to read. Then it says, you and I believe God in the New Testament, and we get to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, so we're blessed abundantly beyond our father Abraham. We're blessed abundantly beyond him. And of course, we don't have to live like Jacob and marry one woman and then marry another and then marry that woman's servant and another one and have children by them all. That's a That's a dysfunctional family. And yet that's going to be the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's going to be the 12 men who are sitting on the thrones around the throne of God. These are, the Bible says, the 24 elders, and that's the apostles of the Lamb, and that's the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so here's Jacob. He's got his beginning, and now God met with Jacob again, and it's time for Jacob to go back and face Esau and bring the tithe. He told God, I'm going to tithe. If you'll bless me, I'm going to tithe on it all. And so he's got to make good on his promise to God and head back and pay the tithe. And now we're going to read Genesis chapter 32, the whole chapter. This is the story of Jacob returning, and he's going to meet Esau, and he's going to bring the tithe back to his father. Go ahead, Sister Phyllis, you can read it, chapter 32. If you want to, you don't have to. Can come on.
Well, I'll give it a try. You say a prayer for my eyesight, okay?
In the name of Jesus, be healed.
So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, speak thus to my lord Esau. This your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight. Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you. And 400 men are with him. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two companies. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape.
Now, pause for a minute. That is not the promise that God gave Jacob.
Jacob was such a stinker that he did so many bad things that Esau, he had stolen the birthright, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so he was afraid of Esau. He knew what he deserved.
Well, he knew what he deserved. But we always have to remember this, that it doesn't matter what you deserve if you've come through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You're not going to get what you deserve. You're actually going to get what you don't deserve. Everybody just pause and get this. Get your notebook out. Write this statement down. We've said it many times.
The grace of God is getting what we don't deserve.
But we don't have to be worried about every time we say these words again, it brings great strength to us and great understanding. And so, if you've not written this down lately, and if you've never wrote it down, remember this. Mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve. Every one of us were born in sin. Every one of us have sinned. Romans chapter 3, the verse was made famous all over the world. And that is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a very, very true statement. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But don't stop there. There's not a period there. There's a comma. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So mercy is not receiving what you do deserve, which is eternal damnation. Jesus willingly, before the foundation of the world, gave his life so that all that you and I would have to do is just receive the work that he's done. Well, mercy causes us not to receive what we do deserve. Grace causes us to receive what we don't deserve, and that is the free gift of righteousness that Jesus provided. That free gift of righteousness that Jesus provided. So the reason I stopped this is Jacob is afraid, but Jacob doesn't need to be afraid because God gave Jacob a promise. When God gives us a promise of his presence and his blessing, you and I must hang on to that promise no matter what else you see in your life. We must hold on to the promise. And it's an interesting fact that in the middle of holding on to the promise, we're going to see many things in front of our eyes that are going to say the promise isn't true. But right in the middle of us holding on to the promise that God's given us, life happens. The life comes to try to get you to surrender your promise. The enemy don't want you to have confidence in God, understanding of God, the foundation of his holy, of God's holy word in your life. So he's going to bring cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and persecution. And it comes so that you'll yield your promise. And in this situation, when they came and said, Esau's coming, Jacob should have said, yeah, he's coming, but I have a promise from God, and everything is going to be all right. He shouldn't have said, well, if he takes out the one, then the rest of us will escape. You big chicken. Anyways, let's keep reading. Verse number 9.
Okay. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which I have, all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this, I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes. So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother.
Now, let's pause for a minute. Because Jacob just quoted the promise of God. Jacob said, all right, he's coming. I'm afraid. He let those words come out of his mouth that he didn't need to make, because he said, you know, If he takes out the one group of us, at least the rest of us will survive. That wasn't God's promise. And then he spoke God's promise to him in verses 9 through 13. That's the promise of God. And so he spoke it again. And so now he's going to, I want you to get this next part of this reading. This is just the present that Jacob is sending to Esau. This isn't his tithe.
Right.
The tithe is going to be 10% of what God had blessed Jacob with. This is just the present that Jacob is sending Esau. So here we go. Let's read the present.
Okay. 200 female goats and 20 male goats. 200 ewes and 20 rams. 30 milk camels with their coats, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, Pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves. And he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong? And where are you going? Whose are these in front of you? Then you shall say, they are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. And behold, he also is behind us. So he commanded the second, the third, and all who followed the droves, saying, in this manner, you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And also say, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.
Now pause.
So the present,
Think about this. He's trying to work in his own power what God said he would do in his promise. And anytime we do that in our lives, we end up trying to make something happen in our own strength. And it just doesn't work. That was about 600 head of angels that he was sending ahead of him to appease him. That is not the promise that God said to him that he was going to give him. God didn't say, if you'll get a bunch of stuff and then put it all together and then send it out before you, then I'll cause Esau to be nice to you. No, God, through the blessing of Isaac, gave the blessing to Jacob, and Esau was to be Jacob's servant. That's what the blessing said. And so here's Esau, or Jacob now, being afraid. This is what fear will cause us to do. Fear will cause you to give up your promise. It'll cause you to give up your hope. It'll cause you to give up on all kinds of things just because you're afraid. When 365 times in the Bible, God said, fear thou not. Do not be afraid. And so I encourage you. Now we're reading, this is all Old Testament. And in a minute, we're going to read the New Testament promise of the book of Colossians. Here we go. 21, Phyllis, we'll finish the chapter now.
I'll try. So the present went on over before him, But he himself lodged that night at the camp. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. I can't be too good, I'm sorry. Anyway, he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone and and wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, now that M is capitalized, so that's the angel that's
Jesus that says
that, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel? I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank.
Now, if you look at verses 22 and you come down to 32, and you were to take your pen and go through and circle every one of the capital pronouns, you're going to find a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And those capital pronouns are all referring to God. Now, angels, when they showed up, their names are not capitalized in the Bible because they are just servants. But the pronouns that are capitalized in the Bible are all in reference to and referral to Jesus. And so what we see here is that Jesus came, God Almighty came and wrestled with Jacob that night and is determined to help Jacob see, "I said I am with you. I am going to be your God." And this is the night that Jacob turned from being the heel grasper to the father of many nations and the blessed of God. God changed Jacob's name in that point of wrestling with God. I think it's so amazing, and it is such an example for all of us today. Verse 28 said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." He was demanding that God give him a blessing before he crossed over the next day. And when you think about this, Jacob was very strong in his body, and obviously, he had served 20 years as a servant to Laban, and they had and increased in flocks and herds and camels and donkeys and everything that they did back in those days. I mean, he had so many donkeys that he gave 30 milk donkeys to him. That's an interesting statement. But when you think about the blessing of God, this is how profusely and how abundantly God wants to bless every part of our lives. Mm-hmm. And it's not just somebody sneezes and you say, God bless you. That's not the blessing. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, abundantly blessed in every area, and he adds no sorrow with it. I know for years people have said, well, my whole life I've heard people say, well, I'm just like the guy in the psalm. Don't give me too much because I don't want to sin against you. And don't make me too poor because I don't want to sin against you. Just help me survive right over here in my little corner, Jesus. Well, that is ridiculous. That isn't the word of God. And that person, even though that's properly stated, that is what he said, that does not match the covenant. And that does not match who God is in our lives. God is wanting to be mighty. And you and I got to look at this and say, if this in the Old Testament is an example of the New Testament, this is the blessing of God in the Old Testament. This gives us a picture of what we get to have in the New Testament. And that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, I want us to go now to our main verses for this evening, and that is Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to be reading Colossians chapter 1, and I want to read the whole thing. But we're going to pause at different points through it because Paul is building up to an understanding that he wants everyone. Let me say it differently. Hold on. Let me back up and get this right. The Holy Spirit is using the Apostle Paul to build an understanding. And that understanding is that Jesus is alive and well on the inside of us. He is actually living in us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And we're going to see God, the Holy Spirit. Let me get it right, because I'm learning how to change this statement in my life. The Holy Spirit of God is using the Apostle Paul to write a letter to the church at Colossae. And as he writes this letter, of course, you and I today now have it as the Holy Word of God. And that is able to make us stand, as Brother Terry Mize was teaching when we were studying spiritual authority. God's Word is truth. It's not just true. It is the truth, that solid foundation on which every one of us can build our lives. And so thank you, Father, for your truth that you brought to us, Jesus, who is the living word in our lives. Here we go, Colossians chapter 1. Sister Phyllis, you're going to keep reading?
Okay. How far you want me to go here?
We'll end up reading the whole chapter probably, but we'll just take it a couple of verses at a time.
Okay. The apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Ephesus, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving
now think about that. Let's pause for a minute. This is another one of those prayers that is a prayer. If you are looking at your life saying, I need wisdom from God, this is one of those prayers that you should pray every single day. It's right there. It's just several verses long, but it's one of those prayers causes you to say, God, you are my answer. Jesus, you are my Lord. And in so doing, we get to have God come to us. Now look at what it says.
Giving thanks to the...
In verse number 9 says, do not cease to pray for you. Ask you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding in Christ Jesus. Now think about this. God has promised you and I that we get to be filled with all and knowledge and understanding. Now, You might say, well, you know, Pastor, I hear people say it all the time. There was a man I remember as a kid. Every day, anytime you heard him pray, he would always pray the same prayer: "Fill us, Lord, with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." Then he would go to the old world and, well, Lord, bless us. If you can find any way to find a place in heaven to bless us, please bless us. Well, if God's going to fill you with all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, then he's going to find a way to bless you, because he's going to get you into the ways of God and the things of God, and he's going to show you the principles of his kingdom and how they work. This is so much in our lives that we've got to look and say, what are we doing and what's going on, so that I'm not just acting in a religious way, reading this and religiously and saying, oh, you know, doesn't it just sound good and wonderful and amazing? No, that we actually truly believe these words that we are saying, so that people's lives, our life, will be changed, and we can be like God. Think about it. Think about this statement. That we might be filled all the wisdom of God. Now, you would say, yeah, but Pastor, you know, that's all right for Jesus, and that's all right for, you know. But you got to remember, we're humans, and you just can't be filled with all the wisdom of God. Well, that just means one thing. That just means you don't actually believe that God says what he says on purpose, for a purpose, to bring about his purpose. You just don't believe it. See, what this causes you and I to do is to say, wait a minute, I've got to come to a new level of understanding in my life so that I can actually come to the fullness of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's why I've said it so many times since we began here. Get a notebook. Get it out. Start studying it. Get those verses. Write them in a confession. Speak them out loud. Say it over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because then all of a sudden, this revelation begins to get down on the inside of you, and you begin to see, wait a minute, this is more than just a statement. This is more than just a something to read in the Bible when we come together religiously. God is actually wanting me to live this. God is actually wanting me to understand this. God is actually wanting me to receive this revelation in my life. And thank you, Father, for your wonderful blessing. Now, Sister Leanne, I can't see any notes or any comments anybody's making from YouTube or anywhere else. Just checking in with you. Just saying hi to everybody that might be out there. We sure do love you. And if there's anything you want to share with me from the comments, just let me know.
Everything's good so far.
All right.
No questions.
Here we go. Let's
anything.
Keep reading. Go ahead.
Okay, verse 12 now. After he says, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of the of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins.
Come on. That's enough to stop right there. We have redemption. We have been redeemed. We have been bought back. We have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin. Do you actually realize what God is saying to you and I right there? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve this. We deserve eternal damnation. We don't. What have you and I done that causes us to deserve Jesus' precious blood being shed and that horrendous suffering that he had to go through bearing all of our sins? What part of that we just receive it. It is nothing more than God so loved the world. And Jesus said, Father, I can see you love the world. Send me. I will be the sacrifice. I'll be the spotless lamb. I'll be the propitiation. I'll take it all on me. So all they have to do is just receive from you. I'll take it all. All they got to do is just reach out and receive it. And wow, what an amazing process is ours because of Jesus' love and Jesus' wonderful, love. that he has for you and I. We love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. Think about this now. The greatest act of love and appreciation is that we come to the understanding of what this is and reach out and touch other people all around us every day. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we can not just experience it ourselves, but be able to offer it to other people in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say this with me for a minute. 37
degrees.
37
degrees.
In North Dakota.
In North Dakota.
You're welcome to it.
We got to have 7 more degrees than this because this temperature, well, we just got to have 37 degrees in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Let's keep reading.
Okay, now this is one of my favorite verses in all of Colossians. The King James Version, it says, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. But now this is another version, but it says same thing. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist.
Now think about this for a minute. Gee, this is the verse of scripture. This is one set of verses that shows you and I that Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the one who created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now think about this. You and I are blessed by God, and we get to have the Creator of the whole world living on the inside of us. I don't know what you may have said today. It doesn't matter. I don't know what anybody said, so nobody can be offended at me. But so many times we make these statements like, well, I'm just not very creative. Or, you know, I don't know how to sing. And I don't know how to express myself. Well, remember this. The Creator lives in you. The one who created the whole world lives in you. He has come and made his abode within us. Now, all of a sudden, you and I got to look at this thing and say, quit making these statements like, I can't, I don't know how, it's never been me. And we got to start saying, the Creator himself lives inside of me. And because he lives inside of you and me, then we get to enjoy. Think about all of the things that you and I get, we have access to. By faith, we have access to it. Right, because he's in us. It's not because of our works of righteousness. We'll use Jacob as the story. It's not because of what he did was right. I mean, his two wives are selling the between each other the possibility of having sex and going to bed with their husband that night. That actually happened. That ain't right. But what you and I got to see is it doesn't matter what our life has been in any sense of the word. It does not matter. What matters is that you and I have received Jesus on the inside of our lives. And because we have received him, we now get to enjoy the wonderful things of God in the mighty name of Jesus. We now get to enjoy them because we have received him just simply by faith. He is the express image of the invisible God, and he lives on the inside of us. We read it last night, and I'm going to keep saying it until every one of you say it out of your mouths and see it. And that is, Jesus said it in John 14, these things I do and greater will you do because I go to my Father. And then he said, I'm going to pray to Father, and he's going to give you another comforter, and he will live with you. And then in verse 20, it says, I and the Father will come, and we will make our abode within you. And then it says, you and me, and I and you. And if you don't get that, that's huge, because God is in us through Jesus, and we get to be in Christ because we receive him. And then it's not just receiving, and then learn every day. Fellas, keep reading. We're going to get through this chapter, and we're going to shout glory tonight.
Okay, I've just read, all things were created through him and for him. Now, verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue.
Think about it. What did we do? We do things. God loved us so much, and Jesus so willingly gave his life. God loved us so much that he gave to us his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's anybody, there's no pre-qualifiers to that, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no reason that the Father has reconciled us to himself, except he loved us so much, and he put Adam on this earth. And he gave him a garden, brought seeds from heaven, and planted a garden in Eden, and gave Adam a place to live and be, and then gave him a helpmate, Eve, to live with him, and told him to be fruitful and to multiply and to subdue the earth and to take dominion. And all they had to do was just eat, name animals, and be in the garden, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue this earth. and spread the Garden of Eden everywhere they went. And he loved us so much. Jesus said, Father, I'll be the sacrifice. Let me reconcile man to you. Let me be the one. Let me reconcile between you and man. And the Father said, all right, let's do it. And that's why you and I have Jesus. See, I know I say this to all of you that might be listening. Maybe you're new to us tonight. You're like, what is this program? This is you and I coming face to face with God Almighty according to the Holy Word of God and learning how to see and know who we are in God. I want you, no matter, well, let me say it differently. The assignment that he gave us is that no matter how severe your life has been, and there's some people who've had a very, very severe life. Many times when you get in a church, you find a group of people that they never experienced anything in life. They never had to overcome anything in life. They grew up in church. They've been around the church their whole life. And they've acted in a religious way. There's nothing wrong with being religious as long as you're being righteous. If you're being self-religious, self-righteous, that'll become sacrilegious, and nobody will want to be around you because you just be ornery all the time. But, man, there's some people that have lived severe, severe lives. I remember one time I met a young lady who had grown up her whole life with her mom bringing home another man and another man and another man and another man. Well, that's the way she was supporting their family. And then the young lady was sold to men. And she had grown up her whole life with that. And yet in one moment in the middle of that horrendous life, that young lady found Jesus, accepted him, and all of that wickedness was washed away and never, ever to ever have another effect on her in her life. It's a wonderful thing that our Jesus does for us as we walk with him every day. I love it. He was given to reconcile us to God. Just Phyllis, read some more.
Okay. You know I love this, don't you?
It's all right.
Okay, where am I? Let's see.
Probably about verse 12.
Okay, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. You continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, Paul became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
All right, so let's back up and read those last two verses again. Let's be very focused and thoughtful about these last two verses.
about the mystery?
Mm-hmm.
You see, the interesting thing is, in all of the Old Testament, I know I've told you this before, haven't I? In all of the Old Testament, they said all these things about the Messiah and the Christ and everything like that, but they never, ever said absolutely the only begotten Son of God with holy blood was going to be the Lamb that was slain to take away the sins of the world, and that kind of thing. And it was so, okay, there's the verse somewhere in the New Testament here that says that if the devil and his demons had known the power that would be released in the world from the resurrection of the Savior, then he would never have allowed the Son of God to be crucified.
Okay.
Well, I had occasion to mention this to somebody one time, and this person says, oh, so there's just no way the devil could have interfered with God's plan of salvation with Christ. So anyway, that's another reason why I love this chapter. Okay, so you want me to start back at verse 26?
Yes.
The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Now pause for a minute. Let's just pause right there. When we go to Matthew chapter 13, which is the parable of the sower, Jesus says, of course, the disciples have come to him and said, why do you teach in parables? And Jesus said, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To you it's been given to know. And what's the difference between the disciples that are standing there asking him the question and the ones that it's not been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom? And the difference is that the disciples want to know. Always remember this about God. He spoke in parables because there's two different groups of people on the earth. There's the group of people who they run around, they act religious, they look religious, you know, but they're not interested in learning and becoming more like God in any manner. They just want to be religious. And then there's those who every day say, Jesus, help me walk with you. I want to be like you. I want to become like you. And Jesus, remember, parables come for two reasons. To keep those who do not have any desire to enter in. It's there to keep them from being filled with more judgment, because the judgment is coming for what they know. And then it's also to make it very plain to those who truly want to know God's ways. The parable comes to put it in a natural view so that you and I can see a spiritual process through a natural view. If you can see it in the natural, then you can experience it in the supernatural. And Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God wants you and I to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to. But to them that are outside, it's not been given. Why? Because seeing, they would see, and they would be set free. And if you want to be set free, Jesus will set you free. And if you're just around saying, man, what's this crowd of folks doing? And you have no more desire to enter in, then you won't ever know. See, Paul is teaching right now, Christ in me the hope of glory. Paul is teaching that our life in Christ, it's going to come from the inside, because Christ is in me. And then that understanding, that revelation, that knowledge comes from a relationship with Jesus on the inside. Now, once you and I come to that revelation that Christ is in me, now our next place is to begin to learn the principles of the kingdom of heaven so that the Christ that is in us, we begin to learn who he is, what he does, who we are, what we do, how we can take this wonderful presence of God on the inside of us and share it with other people. Paul just said, by the Holy Spirit, that it had been hidden from the ages. It had been hidden. And what was it? Christ in me, the hope of glory. It wasn't hidden from us. It was hidden for us.
Amen.
Remember this about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's actually the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it's the glory of the kings to search it out. Well, you and I have been studying now for the better part of the year, and we've been reading it many nights as we close our program, that he has made us kings and priests unto our God. Well, Pastor, I never heard anybody teach that in my whole life. Well, I know you didn't. And it's okay. You don't have to worry about what you've not been taught your whole life. As soon as you now are taught it, shout glory, because now you get to see something that you have never seen before. And probably what you're going to find out is you're probably going to be one of the people in your sphere of influence that actually brings this message to you and your group of people. Think about how many people may not have this revelation that you have. And God brought the revelation to you. Well, in that fact that God brought it to you is automatically set up, laid up, stored up the fact that that gives you and I a responsibility to say to the people that are around us, hey, you may have never seen this, but guess what? We actually get to have Jesus the Christ living on the inside of us. We actually get to experience all of heaven living right on the inside of us. And then you find a way to share that information with everybody that you meet. Share it with your friends. You share it with your family. You share it with your brothers, your sisters. You share it with the people that you work with. You share it with your cousins. And you ask God every day to give you more opportunities to share it with more people so that you can be a blessing in more ways. Because this is a mystery that has been hidden. It's not hidden now. Paul was given the responsibility to share that message with the whole world. Well, from that point on, it's no longer hidden. It's out there. It is a revelation that God wanted the whole world to see. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you've never studied it, then let me just give you a couple sets of verses to study this so that you can get this revelation deep within you. Study the verses in John 17, and those verses are verses 20 through 26. When you write that in your notebook, just write it down. John 17, 20 through 26. And then write right with it. Christ in me. I am one with him. The other day I turned my computer on or my phone on or something, whatever I did. Anyways, YouTube popped up. And when YouTube popped up, it was a YouTube video of Andrew Womack's ministry, and they were having a crusade in Chicago. And Andrew's crusades are always just amazing crusades. And so, you know, I clicked on the video to see what was going on. And, of course, it was a live, process. So there was praise and worship there. And I love praise and worship because the Father says that he is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Father isn't just seeking worship. The Father is seeking worshipers. Father isn't just looking for you and I to stand around with our hands in the air all the time to him. He's wanting us to live lives of worship, which is a life that gives him glory. But the man was singing this song. Oh, what a joy it is to be one with the Lord. Oh, what a joy it is to be one with the Lord. My, my, my. All of a sudden, you and I got to look and say, this is more than just I go to church and I get born again. It is the joy of being one with the Lord, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul is teaching right here. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that relationship, Jesus living in us, should cause everyone that's around us to long to have the same God who lives in us and those same answers in their lives every day. And, you know, there's a lot of people that's like, well, Jesus, I love you, so why don't people want to be like me? Why don't people want to be around me and have the God that's in me? And it's one of those things that you and I got to look at in our lives and say, wait, am I giving off the spirit of religiosity? Or because I have the presence of God in my life, do I make having Jesus in my life, do I make that process look desirable, look wonderful, seem like the greatest place you could live and be? Because if I'm doing that, now Christ in me is the example that causes other people to say, I want to be like them. I want to walk with the same God that they walk with. And that's, man, God help us every day to walk in such a way that anybody that looks in our life says, I want to be like those people. You might be like me. You might say, Pastor, I've seen and done things and I've made mistakes. Well, yeah. The cool thing about God is he loves to restore the years the locust have eaten. He loves it. Well, Phyllis, where are we at? How many more verses we got?
I think we have one more verse. I think that's it. Just on verse 29.
Right.
To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Didn't I read verse 28?
Oh,
him
yeah.
We preach.
I don't think you did.
warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. That's it.
All right, now. Let's grab another couple verses here. Hang on just a second. Let me find them.
How are you doing time-wise, love, because it's quarter after nine? Or are you already on?
It's a quarter after nine?
Yes.
You've been preaching.
Time flies when you're having fun or whether you're not having fun. And I am having fun.
It's 16 minutes after nine.
Give me just a second here. I'm doing good. So I moved from one city to another while we were on, while Phyllis was reading. So let's read a couple other verses about Christ indwelling us. All right. So what time did you say it was? 15 after. All right. Well, how fast can you receive some? We must have had a lot of talk about pizza. Is that what happened?
Oops. Yeah, I guess so. Food in general.
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of pre-discussion tonight. I don't think we actually got going until like quarter to eight, did we?
Really? Well, you know, for those of you who didn't get to enjoy the pizza conversation, it's always a very enlightening conversation. And we want you to be a part of the pizza conversation because, of course, pizza should always have pineapple.
Absolutely never should.
Now listen, just in case you're not from a family that understands this, in the state of Michigan, we have many universities, all right? But there's only one good one, and that's the Michigan State Wolverines, all right? Unless, of course, you're from Moo U and are farmers, and then you want Michigan State University, all right? And so they call it a house divided. But I'm not going to claim that. I will convert my wife to believing that pineapple does belong on pizza.
Well, she agrees that it's okay to have pineapple on pizza if you pick it up and eat it first, separate from all the other stuff.
Yes, then it's acceptable.
Yeah, that's right. So compromise has saved a lot of marriages.
Yeah. Well, I live with Jesus. No compromise. Anyways, all right, here we go. Now, wait. You see how easy that battle begins? Don't fight a battle over something stupid. Don't. I remember Dr. Edmund Lewis Cole, one of the great leaders of the men's movement in America. He would always say, remember, don't die on the wrong hill. Don't die on the wrong hill. If you're gonna die, die on a hill that's worth dying on. Don't just die on a hill. And if you're having trouble in your marriage and you're wondering how to get past things, look at the argument you're having and say, is it really worth this argument? Am I arguing about something that's petty? Don't argue about petty things, because they just lead the wrong thing.
Amen.
Anyways, now I've talked for 5 minutes about how come we didn't have any time. And I want to read these verses. I want to give you these verses about Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I'm probably going to give you right now about 15 verses. So, Sister Lynn, can you make me a good verse list?
I'm working on it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
just so everybody knows. Appreciate my wife's diligent work, and I hope you do too. So here we go. Zechariah 6:13. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Jesus is going to sit on his throne. But do you realize that your life is a throne for Jesus? It's never happened to me, but you know how Christians are. Well, it never happened to me. Remember one time Dr. Barclay said he was wrestling with something in the ministry, and he was praying, and he prayed in the spirit for a bunch, and he prayed some more in the natural mind. He was praying in the spirit, and he said all of a sudden, it was like I could hear God clearing his throat. And he said, I thought, well, I know that voice. I'm like, so he says, is there something I'm missing? He said, yeah, would you mind getting off my throne and letting me sit there? Maybe you don't find that humorous, but how many times have we been there? No, I'm going to do it my way. Remember Jeremiah? What right does the pottery have to say to the maker, what are you doing with me? And yet, that's where the battle of all of our Christian life always remains. Will you keep yourself a living sacrifice on the altar of God, or will you let yourself crawl off? All right, I got the preaching. And if I'm going to give you 15 verses, I got to stop preaching and just read verses. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know? I'm going to change that out of the question and paraphrase it to, you and I know that we are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 6:19. For do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You have been bought with a price. Want to say it with me? I am the temple of God.
I am the temple of God.
How many participants we got on Zoom with us? We got Phyllis and Audrey and Dan.
Five. Right?
And Sister Leanne. Here we go.
Well, what's
that? 2 Corinthians. Wait, that's first. That was 1 Corinthians 6:19.
Okay, that's what I had. All right.
And now we're at 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Now, we just read, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You got to think about the Gentiles, man. They didn't have access to the things of God. according to the Jewish law. And yet all of a sudden they have access. And the Gentiles are like, man, I have access into the same thing the Jews have. And, you know, a born-again, spirit-filled Gentile, that's you and me, has as much access to God and Jesus. Well, we are the ones with access. Certainly the people who were born in the children of Israel, they are of God. But the bottom line is they were an olive branch cut off. And until they're willing to say Jesus is Lord, they are just like a sinner. Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. The apostles and prophets are the foundation. And what is that foundation in all of it? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, Lord, help me that I yield to you. I submit to you. I learn of you. And just like our Jesus did, I grow in wisdom, knowledge, and in stature of the Lord. Let's see. This is Ephesians 2:20 through 22. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We're going into it. And in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. My, my, my. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22. Oh, my. 1 Peter 2:5. These verses are just getting gooder and gooder the farther I go. And if you don't like my gooder English, then maybe you got to learn how to speak gooder English just like me. Because it's gooder and gooder. I like it. 1 Peter 2:5. Look at this one. You also, as living stones. I love how the Holy Spirit said to the Apostle Paul, you are alive. You're living. You're alive. It's living. It's alive. And it's the focus of this whole thing. Living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And when you go back to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, Paul said, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And then I like to say, which is your only reasonable service. The word only isn't there in the King James or the New King James. I just like to put it in there because it is the only reasonable service that we have. Well, let's grab another one. That was 1 Peter 2:5. Am I going too fast, love?
No, we're okay.
All right. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What is God saying? It's the same thing in Isaiah 57 as James says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due time. Let me grab that reference real quick. Humble yourself Don't open the book of James up, because as soon as you open the book of James up, there's all kinds of things that you want to begin to read. That is James chapter 4, verse 6. I'm just going to read this. James 4, 6 through 10. James 4, 6 through 10. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist all evil forces, and the evil will flee. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You don't have to walk around in doubt, in despair, in gloomery, and depression. That's not what God's saying. He's just saying, keep yourself humble in the things of God. Just be humble. Just want to say it with me. Just be humble. Let's keep reading. John 14:20. I referred to this earlier. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. On that day. What was that day? The day the Holy Spirit was showing up. I am in my Father. That's what Jesus said. You are in me, and I am in you. If you want a great study sometime, study all the verses. I did it. Actually taught a message. We'll have to see if we can find that one that was called In Him. Just study the verses that talk about being in. John 17:23. How am I doing here? Let me see the time. 33. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And it is something. I'm getting somebody in the background talking on one of the mics. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. In you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Not your own righteousness. Because of the righteousness of Jesus. That's Romans 8, 10. Christ is in you. Oh, here's one of my favorites. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, right here, I live by the faith of the Son of God, or in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And he lives in here. This comes to me by the Holy Spirit. This is interesting.
What was that, Galatians?
Say again?
Galatians, what's that?
2:20.
Thank you.
This comes to me by the Holy Spirit. If you have been offended by the church. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to take it another step further. If you have been offended by me, Samuel Cobb, and something I said or did, that's interesting. That means somebody's listening. I, first of all, say, forgive me. There would never be anybody on the face of this earth that I would offend on purpose. And however you feel like I've offended you, I say, please forgive me. And may God give you the grace and the determination to walk it out and forgive. So often, and this is very interesting after this word tonight, that means somebody's watching. And I thank you. I thank you for the fact that you would actually come here and listen to me, even though for some reason there's an offense. That's amazing. And many times what happens with offense is something goes on, something happens in you, something happens in me. There's extenuating circumstances you don't see, I don't see. And what ends up happening is people say things or do things, and they're certainly not intentional. But because you and I don't make a point of clearing them up, Then it begins to build that wondering, that wonderment down inside of us saying, well, I wonder why they said that. I wonder what they were thinking about that. Don't ever go there. Never. Listen to me. Let me say it a little more powerfully. Never go there to that place. Don't. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Why? Because you can never, ever. Well, this is for all of us. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. You can never guess what somebody else is thinking. Never. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I heard your words yourself. Oh, okay, you heard words, but you don't know what was happening in my life. I guarantee you, since the day I learned about offense, there's never going to be another day when I will ever, ever intentionally offend another person. Ever. So that means if there's no desire on the inside of me to offend a person and you're offended, we got to figure out what the confusion is, because I guarantee you there won't be any offense unless you're a wicked murdering child abuser. I'm not ever going to speak against you. I'm just not going to do it. But if you're stupid and you're vile and you're perverse, well, I'm going to speak the word of God, and you can't be offended because I speak the word. The word is the word, and if you don't let the preacher change you on this side of eternity, you're going to spend eternity without the presence of God. Without the presence of God. I saw it in a dream last night, and it was just really quick. It woke me up. And it was, I had fallen in a pit. And there was other people there. And somebody said, scream loud. Maybe they'll have mercy and come and get us out of this pit. And I said, no, there's no hope out of this pit. And I woke up saying, wow, what in the world is that all about? I walk with God every day. Well, and immediately I was reminded of a message that Dr. Barclay, my pastor, preached here, I don't know, maybe a month ago or something. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit Conference, where he said, my prayer is that people would spend 5 minutes in a dream to see and understand what hell is all about, because they would live the rest of their life determined never to go there. I don't think that dream I had last night was 5 minutes long. And I can guarantee you that put that, oh my God, I'm without the presence of God. It doesn't matter who's hurt you in the church. It doesn't matter how wrong somebody may have been. obviously tonight there's somebody here that was offended at me. Doesn't matter what I said. I can guarantee you I said or did nothing intentionally to offend nobody. Nothing. On the days of my most severe confusion and spiritual battle and warfare that was going on all around me, there is nothing in me that was offending anybody on purpose ever. Ever. So everybody just do this right now. Don't say it out loud. Nobody come on the mic and say it out loud. Say it in your home right now, personally yourself. Just say, Jesus, I forgive everyone.
Jesus, I forgive everyone.
No matter who they are.
No matter who they are.
Of what they said.
Or what they said.
Or it may even seem that they did.
Or it may even seem that they did.
I forgive them.
I forgive them.
Help me get things cleared up.
Help me get things cleared up.
So I am free to grow in you.
Free to grow.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus, mighty name.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Let's read. Let's grab five more verses. Ephesians 3:17 through 19. Ephesians 3:17 through 19. We read this quite often throughout the week. Ephesians 3:17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Why? That you being rooted and grounded in love, Christ in you, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You get to know that. You get to know it. Wow. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's really something in the spirit. I can see somebody's here tonight that is offended with me. Interesting. Make sure you send me an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Click on my messenger. Send me a message. If you offended this much at me, you have my phone number. Text me. Call me. I guarantee you I'll clear it all up. I guarantee it. If you want to live free from offense, I guarantee I will get it cleared up, and you're welcome to contact me. If you're contacting me to just puke and be wicked and vile, don't do that. No, let's get things fixed. The time is short. Hell is real. Hell is the absence of everything that is God. And between this day that we live right now and eternity in eternal fire and damnation, there will come a point where every person who has lived that way and lives that way daily is going to suffer extreme, extreme, vile trials and tests. All of them are designed to cause you to humble yourself to God and say, I need your help. Not to churches, not to denominations, not to preacher images. Humble yourself to him and he'll lift you up in Jesus' name. Wow. I'm going to read it again. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Not sure what that beep was about, but we're all still here. There we are. First John 3:24. Wow. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. And he, Jesus, in him, you and me. And by this we know that he, God, abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And this is available. This is available to anyone. Some of you feel like you're lost. You long for home. I remember way back when I first left home and was out on my own, was never going to be back with my mom and dad. I remember several times becoming homesick, longing for those days of our youth when we're children. And it's time to grow up and become a man, become a woman. And there's nothing wrong with getting together with people. But here's the reality. If you've been away from God, not willingly talking to him every day in a relationship, what you're homesick for is that relationship with the Father. That's what you're homesick for. If you feel lonely, not for another human, you're lonely for the presence of God. And it's so amazing. All you got to do is start talking to him. He'll talk to you. He's not there with a club. Even if you've done wrong. The woman had five husbands. And the one she was with wasn't even her husband. And he said, go tell her and get all them people and bring them back here. She brought the whole city out. In Jesus' mighty name. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. And I will dine with him, and he with me. Revelation 3, of course, that's to the church of Laodicea. And that's to the most messed up church there was. He called them lukewarm. Let me just read that. Revelation 3:20. What's that? Are you talking to me, though?
No, it's the Blog Talk Radio lady.
Oh, okay.
Counting down.
All right, here we go. 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear, says to the churches. To him who overcomes. After Jesus said, he's talking to the worst church in the book of Revelation, the lukewarm church, where he said, I'm going to vomit you out. But he said, I'm going to stand at the door and knock. And if you will hear my voice and open the door and let me in, I will come in. And I will dine with you. To him who overcomes, I will bless him. And then you get all those seven overcomes that we just studied on Monday night of this week. It's a great study. And we encourage you to be a part of it. Well, what is the mystery of the ages? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say this with me. Right now, just speak these words with me. Say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
That you live in me.
That you live in me.
And I have the hope.
And I have the hope.
That you will always lead me.
That you will always lead me.
from the inside out.
From the inside out.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I think this has been a really good word tonight.
Amen.
I hope this word encourages you to chase after the things of God and to come to the revelation of God and his wonderful plan. It's not religious. It's not a religious indoctrination. That's what the enemy wants you to accuse God of. Oh, you're just trying to give me a religious indoctrination. No, he's not. He's giving you life. He's offering you the God of this world that created everything to live inside of you and lead you from the inside out, night and day, everywhere you go. Now, people like Tony Robbins and those that are so famous for teaching people to be in their mind. Folks, that's not going to answer. Your mind doesn't have any ability to produce anything except what you put in your mind. The mind can't produce anything greater than what you have already put in it. It's the Spirit of God in you that produces the great and mighty things. Man, I'm going into another whole teaching and I got to just stop. We just prayed, let us now receive our communion elements together. I got to get up and get me some elements here that are back here in this other tub. Always have your communion elements in the right tub where you are at, because then you don't have to get up during the program and go looking. We always receive communion together every night. And so we always encourage you to have your communion elements ready. Don't be like the pastor not having his ready. I just got so used to Sister Leanne being there and making things happen that, you know, you end up not getting it done right, but it'll be all right. So, you know, way back at the beginning, I said to God, or no, he said to me, let's put it right. He said, I want you to receive communion and every one of the programs, every day. And I'm like, every day? And he's like, every single day. Isn't that something? What did I do with my crackers? And I remember thinking, wow, that's interesting. You know, we've been trained in church. We have communion, you know, Christmas and Easter and you know, Thanksgiving and maybe Mother's Day and Father's Day. And no, Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. I just have preach on me tonight. I want to preach about everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's just read the verses. Can I get an amen from the YouTubeites?
Sunday's already over there, amening and amening.
Amen. Thank you, Sunday. Bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. We'll read the verses. We'll pray the prayer of salvation so you're right with God. Then we will receive the elements together. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. I love this. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself. That's the whole purpose of the communion element, is to examine yourself every day and then just give him glory that he lives inside of you, that he dwells inside of you, and that he's come to give you life. Said, let him examine himself, eat of the bread, and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Thank you, Lord. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. He who is full of fear has not been made perfect in love. And so reach out today and receive his love. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. You pray this with me. Do you have it, love? I forgot to ask you to be prepared. Do you have it? Evidently not.
On the website, or you didn't send me anything?
No, I didn't send it to you, did I?
No.
Okay. When we get finished tonight, everybody remind the pastor to send immediately to Sister Leanne the file.
All right.
That's interesting. There we go. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
Reach out your hands and say this with me. I receive you, Jesus, into my life.
I receive you, Jesus, into my life.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your love and righteousness.
All of your love and righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Thank you that none of my sins.
Will
ever be imputed against me.
Will ever be imputed against me.
I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and baptize me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power. Understand the Word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. and live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
And amen.
Welcome to the kingdom of God. We're glad to have you here with us today. Look at here. Did I just share my screen?
Yes, you did.
Well, how awesome is that? Here's our salvation instructions. All right? You've been born again now. You've been washed white as snow. Your sins have been thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness, never, ever to be remembered against you another day. That just happened to you when you prayed that prayer. And once that happens to you, every time we pray the prayer again, it's not that we didn't think it didn't work the first time. We're just saying it again so that everybody that might be here hears the prayer. And then, of course, it reminds you and I of what we've done, and it causes us to shout glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The work is done. Now, let me give you some instructions. Number one, you need to get a Bible. All right? And what does that mean? That means you need to get a Bible that you can begin to read every day. Now, it doesn't matter which Bible you get. I recommend the New King James Version because it puts it in the modern language that you and I live in every day. And it makes it, it's what I read out of. If you're going to follow along with me, you'll be able to see the verses I read. And there's some people, they like to see the contrast, so they get a different translation. Other people like to read the same I am reading. That's up to you. You do whatever you want. I recommend the Thompson Chain because it has so many wonderful Bible study aids in it. And it'll be a blessing to you as you study it. Most of all, make sure you contact us if you need to get a Bible. Maybe you say you're someone that's like, Pastor, I just can't afford to buy a Bible right now. Well, there's enough of us here that would come together and help you get a Bible. Let us know that, and we'll be a blessing to you. And like the one man said, he had to give out 300 Bibles one night, and he had three. And when the night was finished, everybody had a Bible, and there were still like 9 Bibles left over. That's a pretty cool thing. God just multiplied the Bible like he did the fishes and loaves. And then click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and be with us. Now, remember this about the things of God. In high school, you have to start at kindergarten, and you have to go through first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and on up through the grades. Why? Because each year builds on the other year. But that is not the way it is in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you come to God, you come into the kingdom, you are born again, filled with this Holy Spirit, God makes his abode within you, you become the temple of the living God. Immediately, you're made a minister of reconciliation. That's not a title. It's usually go get a card and talk about your title. It is a responsibility to begin to reconcile other people to God. You can help them find the God that you know that has you where you are. So as you are here every night, it doesn't matter. You may have never known anything about God, but the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of you, that's why we just taught you to pray that, will now lead you exactly where you are into the understanding of the things of God. Ask a question. Ask 1,000 of them. We don't even care if somebody else has already asked a question. We might go back and get that video for you and say, here, we asked this question here. Study this. And it'll be a fun video for you to study, and you'll get the revelation. And then stick with us. Come out and be with us. We're going to talk about the things of God every single time we come here. And we're going to show you the paths of righteousness that you can walk in for his name's sake. Well, here we go. Let's receive our communion elements together with me.
Did you move
your
mic?
You guys can really? Say again?
Did you move your mic?
you serious?
Yes. It's better now. Keep going.
I moved it up a half an inch so I could take a drink of coffee.
It was enough that we couldn't hear you anymore.
Did you put a camera in here so you can see me moving the microphone?
No.
All right, so you can see the screen with the words there.
Yes, yep.
Don't you just love this day that we live in? I don't know who said Jesus, help him figure it out, because we figured it out. Pray this with me.
Jesus, as you instructed your disciples,
I receive these elements today.
This bread representing your body broken,
and this juice representing your blood poured out for me.
I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me.
Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
You have to scroll up.
By your stripes, I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions.
There is nothing missing, nothing broken.
All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me, or this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken body now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And let's receive the body broken in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we worship you and we honor you and we adore you in Jesus' mighty name. And now we bless the fruit of the vine in obedience to your word.
In remembrance of your bloodshed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me.
For me. By your blood, Jesus,
I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father.
My Father.
By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life.
I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus.
Old things have passed away. and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth.
By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever,
and there is no condemnation in my life.
By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle,
or
any other blemish.
When
you
come
for
me,
I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus'
mighty
name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's sing the song, one of our songs we always sing. Sing this with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes my nation. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes my name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, Sister Phyllis, let's read from Job. Let's read from Jude tonight.
Yeah, I figured since we already read Ephesians, we would use Jude. Okay. 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. And I always like to read Revelation 1, 4, and 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. And thank you for letting me read that.
Amen and amen. Well, here we go. You can probably still see my screen, Job 33. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they're slumbering in their bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Verse 25. His flesh shall be young like a child, and he shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. Notice that he is capitalized. God will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness And all of this is right here. Verse 15, when deep sleep falls upon men, while you're sleeping, say, Father, in Jesus' name, reveal to me your plan for my life. And he will, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's it. The only thing we could do is stay here longer, but we've already done a good job of speaking the word of God. And I encourage you to go back and hear these words again and be blessed by them in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this? We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus
is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
And we'll see you soon.